You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Class is in session. This is the Draft Seminar Rookie Profile Series hosted by Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, joined as always by John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. On today's episode, we are previewing the running backs that will be at the 2022 Senior Bowl. This entire Rookie Profile Series will be simulcast on both the Rookie Big Board and NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network podcast channels, and of course, on the Rookie Big Board YouTube channel. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure to drop us a comment. Let us know which running back you are most excited to see in this year's Senior Bowl, because, John, we have a really fantastic group. We're going to get into it in a little bit here, but first I want to remind folks that they can find all of your work at footballdiehards.com, and you can find all of my work, including the 2022 Rookie Big Board rankings, Dynasty Devy rankings, and a super active Discord channel at patreon.com/theffeducator. John, my friend, you fired up to talk about this subtly powerful running back group.
I absolutely am. I know the narrative is it's not a great class of running backs, and I understand that narrative, but there is depth here, and some of these players are going to make an impact, like Elijah Mitchell, Ramondre Stevenson in DFS, fantasy football, dynasty leagues. You need to know who these players are, because opportunities will arise in the future for all of them, most likely.
John, we're going to talk about 8 running backs on the show, and we're about to jump into the first one here. But before we do, I want to point out to folks, most people at this point in time have Isaiah Spiller, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, and Kyren Williams. Put them in whatever order you want. You have them as your top 4 running backs. The Senior Bowl this year is a perfect opportunity to dig into those, quote, next level guys, see who your targets are going to be in the second, third, and even fourth round of rookie leagues, right? Because you have unprecedented access to the next level. Usually they're overshadowed, but none of those 4 guys I listed are able to, based on their class eligibility, they're not able to be at the Senior Bowl. So this is a great opportunity for you to dig in. And let's start here with a player, John. I got to be honest with you. I was surprised when I flipped on the Hassan Haskins tape. I saw a better tape review than I expected. He comes off as a powerful runner for me. He combines explosiveness with great vision to shred defenses. He's really tenacious. I like the way he works within the tackle box, but he's sneaky good running off tackle as well. I think this, John, is somebody who might be available in the 3rd round of rookie drafts, and if he is, I'm going to be scooping him up pretty consistently.
Matt, the NFL's going to like Hassan Haskins. If you've watched him run, and I watched him all season long, and then I watched the tape a lot in the last 2 weeks. You mentioned vision. Matt, between the tackles, in traffic, Hassan Haskins has great vision. I do question a little bit on the outside. He's not an outside zone runner. But as an example, look at what the Tennessee Titans did with Dante Foreman. Hassan Haskins has a role in the NFL with his ability to pound the football between the tackles. I've watched a lot of Hassan Haskins. We kind of know why Zach Charbonnet transferred to UCLA. Between Haskins and Blake Corum, I kind of think he saw less opportunity, and maybe other things occurred also. But Corum and Haskins were such a powerful 1-2 punch. Matt, 1,327 yards rushing. What really surprised me, in the beginning of the year, Corum and Haskins were sharing the duties. When Corum got injured, I thought they still might split the carries. But to my amazement, they actually ended up giving the lion's share of the carries to Haskins. And he ended up dominating people. Ohio State, 169. Penn State, 156. Indiana, 168. And then he had games of 155, 123, 110. Matt, he played very good football this year. He is north-south. He's not a Kyle Shanahan runner. That's okay. The NFL needs players who can pound it between the tackles, who are goal line players, short yardage. And Haskins is a decent pass catcher. He's not great, Matt. I'm not going to highlight it, but he's good enough on third down. You can put him in the ball game. I like Haskins. I have him in my top 10 because I know the NFL with Ramondre Stevenson and how he did with the Patriots. Hassan Haskins has a role. Other teams like to copy success. Haskins will probably be a fourth-round pick. I have a third-round grade.
All right, John, here's somebody who's really interesting. We are both big college fantasy football players, college football DFS. If you are in that realm, you absolutely know the name Abram Smith because he was a smash play. He was one of the guys that we hyped up weekly. A former linebacker, John, flipped over to the running back, offensive side of the ball to play running back, and you see that linebacker power. Now, he broke out later in his career, so if you're into the analytics side of things, probably not excited about it. But on his tape, John, great contact balance, powerful running style, low center of gravity. He does well. I think he falls forward. He gains extra yards after contact. Well, right now for me, a little bit of a limited draft capital from an NFL standpoint, probably somebody who currently projects as a fourth-round rookie pick. But here's what's special about the Senior Bowl, John. He could gain momentum. He could come in, test well, practice well, and end up being one of the bigger risers. Remember, he is still developing what it means to be a running back. Absolutely somebody who I'm going to be watching closely through Senior Bowl week.
I think he has a lot of ability. I like him. I have him right now. I'm looking quickly in my top 10. Also, Matt, you know I've said this before. I like big backs. 5'11", 221. Abram Smith punches people. He has a linebacker mentality. And when I put on the tape, when he gets to the second level, Matt, he's much better than I thought he was. Like, I was expecting a total grinder. And while that is part of his game, when he gets past the linebackers, Matt, he runs east-west. He obliterates angles. He uses stiff arms. He is really good. On tape, he looks faster than Haskins, in my opinion, in the second level. When you see Haskins will get caught from behind and he doesn't have that second level vision, Abram Smith has it. I'm kind of shocked at how people are not talking about him. Obviously, linebacker converted to running back, right? So the narrative, oh, they were desperate at Baylor. They needed a back. He's not an NFL back. Matt, he might have to grow. He might be the type of player, maybe he takes 2 or 3 years at the NFL level. But when you're coming off of a 1,600-yard season, and I watched that game against Mississippi, that's an SEC-level defense. They're not the best. But when you run for 172 against Mississippi, you're doing something right, my friend. And I look back. He was a two-time All-State ball carrier in high school. They just put him at linebacker. They gave him a chance, literally ran with it, no pun intended. But look at what shocks me, Matt. He had a scrimmage yards dominator of 30%.
Yeah.
Literally, they put the offense in his hands, and he was a star. I agree with you. A great Senior Bowl week, he might propel into the third round. I like Abram Smith a lot.
All right, John, and here's a name that most folks will probably be a little bit more familiar with. This is Brian Robinson Jr. out of Alabama. I'm excited with where it seems Brian Robinson's current value is, because for me, it's where it's been this entire time. Flipping back to his summer scouting this past offseason, I put on the Brian Robinson tape, and I saw somebody who was a tremendous athlete for his size, and I really didn't understand why he wasn't quite getting the hype. A lot of folks get frustrated when Alabama running backs don't really break out until their senior year. We're talking about a loaded high pedigree running back room, right? We're going to talk about Jerome Ford, who transferred out of that room, who I'm also a big fan of. And so this was Brian Robinson's year. And he did miss some time for injury, but especially down the stretch during the college football playoff SEC championship, we saw what Brian Robinson can be. He has tremendous explosiveness off the line of scrimmage, even more dangerous when he hits that second gear. I mentioned his athleticism. He shows good lateral movement ability, very clean cuts. One of my favorite things, John, is when backs can work well in tight spaces and still be elusive. And we see that with Brian Robinson, or he can just put his shoulder down and run you over. There's a lot of versatility when it comes to Brian Robinson. I think most folks still think he might be a day three guy. John, he's going to go in the top 100. I feel confident he's a day two draft prospect. And in the right landing spot, Brian Robinson has the potential to push that top tier of running backs if I can project him into a good volume situation.
Matt, the NFL is going to like Brian Robinson more than the Twitterverse and all of the people in the fantasy industry. Because if you plug him in some numbers, he's not going to pop for you in a model per se. Also, late breakout age, but you alluded to it. He played behind Najee Harris and Damian Harris. What are you going to do? When you agree to go to Alabama, Matt, you got to wait your turn. I mean, Saban isn't putting a freshman on the field. So Robinson patiently waited. He exploded. Cotton Bowl MVP, 204 yards. I mean, Cincinnati, wow. What a game. Georgia, tougher defense, tougher game. We know what happened in the national championship game. But I know the NFL is going to like him, Matt. They're going to like him a lot. I think he's going to shock people. He's going to go off the board in the second round. If not the second round, early third round. 6'1", 225, Matt. And I will agree. I don't think his vision's elite. I don't necessarily think he has the quickest feet. They're good. He does have a little bit of a grinder mentality as a runner. But he's physical. He's going to hit the hole. And, Matt, he's a better pass catcher than people give him credit for. Much better. So the NFL is going to look at a Nick Saban back, Alabama back. I know I don't get Najee Harris. But what if I get Damian Harris, and in the NFL circles, I'm in the third round. I'm going to take that type of player, and someone might love him at the end of the second round. I have him in my top 10 also. I think people are ignoring Brian Robinson of Alabama.
All right, John, I just alluded to him, and he is one of my favorite guys. I have been hyping him up for well over a year now, and he absolutely shredded it up with the Bearcats. One of the reasons that they made it to the college football playoff, and that is running back Jerome Ford. He is a dynamic back that powers through opposing defenders. He displays great strength, John, great contact balance, creates yards after contact, oftentimes dragging poor AAC defenders forward in a pile through the end of the play. But he's not just power. His straight line acceleration ability is fantastic. Now, he's not the quickest guy getting going, but once he builds that momentum, he has a huge home run play ability. Now, Ford is somebody who's probably going to go in the mid rounds. I have him projected as a late day two pick. He could slide into early day three territory. And I think he's somebody who is just good enough that he needs to be on your radar, but not so good that all of your league mates are going to know about him. It's almost the perfect crossover zone for fantasy football value.
And you mentioned it. You imagine that Alabama room at one time at Najee Harris, Brian Robinson, and Jerome Ford. I mean, the running backs that have gone through Tuscaloosa in the last decade are just amazing. Jerome Ford, believe it or not, when he first got to Cincinnati, I thought he'd be a star immediately. But his junior year, 2020, he actually didn't carry a lot. But then he had that game against Georgia. Remember that one in the bowl game? And two things stuck out to me in that game. A, he could carry the load, which we had not seen. And two, his speed. Matt, you mentioned it. His straight line speed, if you watch enough Jerome Ford, and you're going to get a lot of like 2 yard carries. Part of it's Cincinnati. Part of it is his vision. There's reasons why. But Matt, when the hole is there and Jerome Ford can bust it down the field, you see a lot of home runs if you watch enough Cincinnati film. I mean, 31 receptions. This is amazing. He has 31 touchdowns. He has an equal amount of touchdowns as he does receptions. Part of it is he's the goal line back, but he also hits those amazing home runs. 5'11", 220. Matt, we have a lot of 210-pound backs. It's a very fascinating class. Are you looking for the grinder like Hassan Haskins, or do you want kind of the home run hitter like Jerome Ford? I think both of them have a role in the NFL. I think because he went to Alabama, highly recruited high school prospect, coming out, I believe he came out of Florida, if my memory serves me right. I think the NFL will like him. He could have another huge week. He's the type of player you know scouts want to see him compete at the Senior Bowl.
All right, John, moving on here to Rashad White. I know you're excited about this one. I got to tell you, I was later to the Rashad White train than a lot of other folks, but I'm all on board because he is an electric prospect. He beats defenders with speed. He beats them with athleticism. He beats them with elusiveness, speeds up quickly, closes space at an elite level. John, we want to talk about downfield acceleration. Rashad White has that ability. Clean, getting in and out of his cuts with ease, great lateral agility, a mean jump cut. He's going to go to the combine, John, and he is going to make some folks' jaws drop. He's going to put up big numbers. He's going to be a top 100 pick in this year's NFL draft.
I agree with you, Matt. First thing in my book, size, 6'2", 210. Now let's hope he doesn't pull the Rashad Bateman and he's 5'11", 190. But he doesn't look that. He looks a big back. My friends, viewers, he's a JUCO transfer. Who cares? Get over it. He ended up going to Arizona State. Matt, since he's gotten there, he's unfreaking believable. He has 51 receptions, everyone, in two seasons. He hasn't been on campus for a long time. Only two seasons. Matt, he might be the best pass catcher in this class. One thing, when you get him on the edge and you get him in space with the linebacker or a safety, Matt, he is awesome. A, he has two kinds of things he does that I like. He can juke them and make them miss, or he just hits them. Like, he's got the size to truck someone in the open field, and he can't pack a punch. Now, paradoxically, one concern, when you watch a lot of tape of Rashad White, Matt, he doesn't run between the tackles a lot, which is always a concern of mine. I have him. This is the first time I've said it. He's in my top five because of his pass catching upside and his home run ability. The hard part is the Sun Devils created an offense for him, which they got him on the edge outside of the tackles most of the time. And man, he flourished out there. Incredible on the edges. You know, it's weird. He has some Tony Pollard in him, but he's bigger, stronger. He also reminds me, if you're old like me, a little bit of Ricky Waters at San Francisco. I do think with some good coaching, you could design interior run plays, and maybe he can do it. He just didn't do it the way the Sun Devils offense. But it is a little bit – I like a player to go in to out when I grade them. So I would say he's average, if not below average, between the tackles. But he's so superior on the edge and in space. I have him as a top five. Where can I get a pass-catching back at 6'2", 210? You don't find a lot of those, my friend.
John, the next guy up here is Devontae Price out of Florida International. And I got to tell you, when you first see Price's name pop up on the Senior Bowl invite list, it's not the one that catches your attention. You kind of, you know, do a hard squint and try to figure out exactly why it's there. But you flip on his tape, John, and there are some enticing elements of his tape. If you look at the strength that he plays, brings to the field along with his size at 6'2", 215, there's a good amount of speed that goes in along with that strength. Now, we almost sound like a broken record because clearly this is a bigger running back class than we've seen the last couple of years. But you do see the ability for Price to run downfield with good momentum. He can outrun defensive backs at times. He displays great contact balance, a good anchor when pass blocking. I know that's not always the most exciting thing for fantasy football players to hear, but it will help his draft stock. And some good sneaky lateral movement ability. He's got a nice sidestep, a good jump cut. And when he has space, John, he can be elusive. So Price almost feels like a lesson learned, right? He's a player who I don't think fit in his system, but still caught the eye of folks anyways. That reminds me a lot of Elijah Mitchell. I missed on Mitchell last year because I don't feel like I was able to pull his skill set out of his scheme well enough. So I'm not saying that Price will be Mitchell, but I think the lesson learned here is not to write these guys off right away, especially if they're catching the eye of NFL scouts. So I'll be watching Price closely, currently project him as a day three NFL draft selection, around 4 or 5 rookie draft selection. But there's certainly opportunity for him to improve that over the next couple months.
Matt, completely agree with you. Sorry, our two dogs are playing in the corner, everyone. We have a new puppy, and he likes to play with the younger one. I really want Devonta Price to do well and succeed. I've identified him. He was always on the waiver wire in college fantasy football. And there are flashes of incredible ability at 6'2", 215. And I was excited with Butch Davis going to Florida International. I thought maybe Butch Davis would lean on Devonta Price more this year. Unfortunately, he never really gained control of the Panthers' backfield and got as many carries as I would hope. Now, part of it, the Panthers weren't very good, and they started throwing the ball all over the field. But I do believe he can play special teams from day one. And if you can get a special teams player, contributor, at 6'2", 215 with some speed, who could be your emergency fourth back, there's things that coaches will like. It will depend on draft capital. Is he a third or is he a fourth or sixth round pick? But Devonta Price is an interesting player, Matt.
John, our next guy up here is Damian Pierce out of the University of Florida. I'm going to tell you right now, I see in the future that Pierce is going to be an infamous fantasy football player. I think he's a great goal line back. I think he displayed that ability, but I don't see him as a full-time starter in the NFL. So he's just going to be the hated touchdown vulture. I can see that in his future driving us absolutely wild. Because I think he does have the potential, John, to be a rotational back in the NFL. He's got a good low center of gravity, good contact balance, solid strength. Although he doesn't overpower SEC defensive backs, he has a slight twitch to his running style. He has the ability to make sharp cuts, but it's not consistent. He lacks that pure elusiveness. He lacks that pure athleticism. So I think Pierce is going to be a guy who is good in the NFL, hangs around a while, but I'm not sure he's ever going to be somebody that I'm going to be reaching or excited to have on my roster per se.
I kind of agree with you. And when I look around, scouts and the NFL scouting community likes Damian Pierce more than I do. I think part of it is he's SEC, 5'10", 215. And I kind of gave him a mulligan in 2020 because he had Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, and the Gators are throwing the ball all over the place. But this year, I thought that Damian Pierce would take a greater load of the offense and run that. But look at Matt. He shared the backfield. He only had a 12% scrimmage yards dominator. He basically was a, you know, dual backfield. Now, you know I'm not against it because look at what Javonta Williams and Michael Carter did. So I'm not – it depends on the individual in the committee, not necessarily the committee itself. But what I see is a plotter between the tackles who's not as explosive as some of the other 215-pound backs. I want to like him more, Matt, but every time I'm done watching a game or finish watching some tape, I'm left with I need more from him. We'll see what the NFL thinks. He's not a player I'm targeting right now.
Last, John, but absolutely not least, is James Cook out of Georgia, one of two running backs coming out of the University of Georgia this year. Focusing on James Cook, John, we've been talking a lot about the guys that are just going to grind it up in between the tackles. We got a pass catcher now. Here's our pass catcher with James Cook. If you're playing in PPR leagues, which you absolutely should be, Cook has to be on your radar, especially if you're playing in a full PPR league. Excellent hands, often featured in the pass catching role for the Bulldogs. Now, we mentioned it with Alabama, but very similarly, potentially, I would say, John, even more so, Georgia is known for being a program that develops running backs, brings in high pedigree running backs. So when you go into that program, you don't always get a lot of touches, right? Nick Chubb didn't get a lot of touches. Sony Michel didn't get a lot of touches. I know I'm forgetting. DeAndre Swift didn't get a lot of touches. These were all successful running backs in the NFL. So James Cook, again, not a guy who will blow you away with stats, but if you look at his contact balance, if you look at his ability to run routes along with catch the ball and his straight line acceleration, he's somebody you have to be excited about. A target right now in late second round of rookie drafts as you're getting into that early third round, but could continuously rise up ADP, John, over the next few months. A lot of reason to be excited about James Cook.
Matt, do not be surprised if he's a second round pick. I have a third round grade, but the NFL, SEC, Georgia, he's Dalvin Cook's younger brother, different backs. Not as obviously not the prospect that Dalvin Cook was coming out of Florida State. But if you saw this playoff game against Michigan, when James Cook was running real wheel routes 25 yards down the field and he caught the ball over his head, James Cook, it's between him and Rashad White in my book, who's the best pass catcher of the two. Now, Cook looks more like your typical pass catcher, 5'11", 190. He doesn't have the bulk and the size of some of the other backs in this class. But, Matt, there's two things that my model likes. He leads his class with 6.5 yards per carry. Him and Pierre Strong, the young man from South Dakota State, are the two highest yards per carry in this group. Also, 67 receptions in the SEC. That's impressive. Now, one man we're not going to talk about, Tyler Batty, who we'll talk about later. He led all running backs in catches. It's pretty amazing what he did. But Cook has NFL pedigree. He's from a terrific running back school in the conference that coaches love. And he's the brother of a star NFL back. I have a third-round grade. I will not be shocked if he goes off in the second round. James Cook is a fascinating prospect.
There you have it, our Senior Bowl preview for the running back position. Make sure to check out all of John's work at footballdiehards.com and follow him on Twitter at gridironschol91. I'm on Twitter at @theff_educator, and you can check out all of my work, including my rookie dynasty Devy rankings, and get access to my Discord channel at patreon.com/theffeducator. And as always,